So, does anybody have any testimonies? Anna.
So this was actually on Wednesday night, but anyways, so Hannah Rader actually came up to me and she was like praying over me that I would have visions. And then I looked over and saw Lou Jane praying and I was like, God, is there anything you want me to like pray for her about? And then I got a vision of her driving like a sailboat, but she didn't know where she was going, but God was leading her and she was trusting in God. And then after I was done praying for her, she said this.
Over the week, I had a vision of, like, a bunch of people on a boat. They were drowning, but they didn't know they were drowning. And then Anna gave me that testimony on Wednesday.
That is so cool. Visions are just so cool, guys. Mary?
So this happened last night in my sleep, and this never happens. So I was dreaming about all of us being blessed by all the pastors and leaders in M&E. And then I told my mom, and she's like, so I told her, and she was like, that is one of the best dreams I've ever heard. And I thought that came from God telling that one day all of us will be blessed.
Yeah. Is there anyone else? One more?
I dropped a sharp knife on myself by accident. I didn't get cut, so, yeah.
Do we have time for, like, one more? Okay, Melissa, do you want to share your testimony from that you told me yesterday?
She does.
Called her out.
Okay, hello. So yesterday, I was babysitting, and then I finished babysitting. And then for a reason, I had to come back to the house that I was babysitting. So I was just driving, and then I saw this lady, and she was just sitting in a sidewalk. And then she was smoking. And the first thought that I had was, go and tell her that God loves her and that Jesus died for her. And I was just like, this is from God, because that's literally the first thing that I had. And I was just like, okay, if I get what I forgot from the house I was babysitting real quick, and she's still there, I'll do it. And then literally, so I got to their house, and I was getting out of my car, and the dad literally comes and gives me what I forgot. And I was like, that was quick. So I got in my car, and I go back, and I parked close to her, not really close, but kind of close. And then I was just thinking, you know, like, what can go wrong? Like, if I go and tell her, what if she's, I don't know, racist or rude or just like, I don't want to hear you, I don't care or anything. But then I was like, I realized that it's more important for me to remember her that God is there than for me to get hurt or anything. So I was just like, I'm going to do it. So I went and I told her, like, hello, can I have 3 minutes of your time? And she was just like, it depends. Like, maybe she thought that I was going to sell her something or anything. And I just said, honestly, I was like, I felt in my heart that I needed to tell you that God loves you and that Jesus died for you. And she was just like, thank you so much. And like, I'm pretty religious too. And she was smoking, which was funny. but I did not want her to feel judged or anything. So I was just like, I just want to tell you that God is your father and he loves you and stuff. She was like, thank you so much. Like, we need more people like you and stuff. And I left. It was literally less than 3 minutes. And then I got in my car and I was driving by. So I was going to wave at her. And then I look at her and she's literally like this, like, and I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, that happened.
Yeah. It's cool how, like, God can use the little moments that even if they don't seem that spiritual, like, God totally used that. And even though it was just, like, Jesus loves you, like, that is going to probably stick with her because Melissa took the time to, like, go out of her way and just be kind to someone and tell them that God loves them. So now we're going to have Hannah come up and do her sermon. So if anybody doesn't have a way to take notes, get some papers and pens back there. It's totally worth it. Take notes. They're going to be really helpful in small groups, so get your note sheets right now.
Yes, retweet. Go get those papers. If you don't have paper, borrow some from, like, your pal or from a stranger. Just get some paper, get a pen, because there's a lot. Guys, there's 13 slides that I have for you because you're going to need to write some stuff down. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Also, I hope you have your Bibles because there's a lot of verses that I'm going to be talking about. Okay, we'll just wait. Anybody have some jokes? Just one. Okay, I saw you in the white shirt first. Okay. What do you call a frog with no legs? Unhoppy. Oh, no. That's true. Okay. All right, everybody. I hope you were sitting down. Okay, we're going to get started. Woo, okay, I'm going to pray. Oh, I'm sorry. We're done. I'm sorry. Save it for small group. Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for today and that everybody who is here is here. And thank you for the people who aren't here. And I just pray for extra focus today because what I'm talking about is a little bit more study-based. And so I just thank you for what you're going to say through me. And I just pray that their ears would be open to receive it. Amen. I feel like this mic is, like, extra loud today. Is that true? No? Okay, good. Okay, well, thanks. Okay. Okay, we're in our series right now called Back to the Basics. Am I right? Yeah? Okay. And so some of you have probably grown up in the church and heard a lot of what we're saying. And you're probably thinking, like, I've heard this story 5,000 times. I don't need to hear it again. And I get it. Like, I was in your spot several times when I was younger because I didn't realize that when you have the Holy Spirit will take something that you've heard 5,000 times and he'll give you a completely new revelation about it. So with that in mind, just before you hear a sermon, like, about Jesus' birth or about, you know, Adam and Eve or something super basic, I encourage you to pray and ask God, reveal something that I don't know, because he will. He does every time. Like, how do you think old people have gone their whole lives studying God and finding new things about him with the same book? It's because they have the Holy Spirit. So anyway, that being said, I'm here to talk about some words that people say in the church, like, all the time, but maybe you don't know the meaning of, or the words are overused. For example, the word sin, okay? That's a word you hear a lot in church. So anyway, here we go. When I was your age, and even up until I was making this sermon, I actually didn't know what some of these words really meant in their original Greek and Hebrew. So what I'm here to do is to show you slides and to show you the research that I've done in order to understand those words better. And when you understand something better, it sinks in and you enjoy it more, and then you're able to fully explain it to someone else. So, everybody right now, grab your paper that you grabbed and get some note-taking stuff, because this is important and I want you to write it down. Okay, so while I'm talking, there will be slides. And so you don't have to write each slide word for word, but I want you to write down key things, maybe things that you don't know, and write them down, okay? And then also think of questions as I'm going. And then at the very end, if you haven't thought of a question, then think of a question for small groups. So here we go. The word Christian, super basic. We have a slide for that. It comes from Greek, from the Greek word Christos. Hang on, sorry, I'll wait for the slide. Okay. Meaning anointed, which is derived from another Greek word, krio, meaning to anoint. So you're anointed, and your goal is to anoint. And so this name was applied to Jesus way early on, and it's also translated out of Hebrew for the word, Mashiach. Okay. Anyway, so in English, it's Messiah, and you've all heard that word, and it also means anointed. So Greek and Hebrew, both of them mean anointed. So Christians are anointed, which means that we anoint as well. So Anyway, sometimes, though, the word Christian is way overused. Have you ever heard of a celebrity or someone, like, in your school or something that's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but, like, yeah, but you can tell, like, I don't, are you? Like, it's all in their heart, you know, but their fruit, like, what they produce might not match up. So have you all, can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, people everywhere are just like, yeah, I'm a Christian. They kind of just throw it around, but it has such a, like, a bigger meaning to it, you know? So everyone's a Christian nowadays, is what everybody says. But the word Christian only appears 3 times in the Bible. 3. Guys, I didn't know that. That's crazy, right? So there are 3 verses that I gave as an example. Yeah, so the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, and then Agrippa, who wasn't a Christian yet, was talking about being persuaded into being a Christian. And then at the last one, it's, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Praise God that you bear that name. So those are the 3 times the word Christian is used, and they're not used lightly. Okay, so the next word, evangelism, comes from the Greek word euangelion, which actually Pastor Walt just talked about, because the word gospel actually is the word euangelion, and both of them are sometimes used interchangeably, which is pretty cool because the gospel is the good news of Jesus, and evangelists spread that good news of Jesus, and euangelion looks like the word evangelism in English, so it kind of all just, like, intertwines, and it kind of just proves that the gospel was meant to be shared. Like, if you have the good news, you be an evangelist and you spread it. So 2 Timothy 4:5 is the verse that I have for that. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So that's pretty cool. Okay, next, the word grace means favor. So you've all heard the song Amazing Grace. Let's sing it together. Here we go. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Okay, great. That's it. Cut. Good singing. We should make a choir. Okay. So in Hebrew, the word is kanon, and it's to stoop, to bend or stoop in kindness to another as a superior to an inferior. And I didn't know that. So that's pretty cool. God is the superior in the situation, and we are the inferior in the situation, and he is stooping in his kindness in order to show us love, you know? So grace is completely undeserved. Like, we have zero, like, I don't know, what's the word? We have zero need for it, but he gives it to us anyway. I mean, we do have need for it. What am I to, I don't know, it's fine. We don't deserve it, pretty much, is what I'm saying. So, it's really cool. Ephesians 2:8 is the verse that you've probably heard. It is by grace you have been saved, not by works, you know. It is by God's kindness. Yeah, it's a gift, like, yeah. So, sin, the word sin, here we go. Wait, go back. No! I hope you didn't see that. Raise your hand. What do you think sin means? Yeah, okay, what's your guess? Yeah, if you hurt someone or do something mean, okay, yeah. Something that does what? Sorry. Draws away from God? Yeah. Yeah, Mary. Yeah, disobeying God, like breaking the Ten Commandments. And yeah, you and the, no, not you. Okay. Okay, yeah. So that's exactly what I think of too, you know. It's doing something that doesn't please God. But okay, so this next slide. It's actually really cool because in the Hebrew, kata, it's actually to miss or to go wrong. So, I mean, you're missing the mark. And another website, like Greek thing, or not Greek, Hebrew thing, said to fail. So to fail, to miss, to go wrong, that is what sin is. And that's pretty much what we just said. It's to miss the mark of, like, God's standard. Obviously, we all miss God's standard all the time. But when you put it into perspective like this, from the what the original word meant to sin, to go wrong, like, that's it's kind of deep, you know? Okay. So the word delivered in Hebrew is yasha, and it's to be liberated, to be saved, and to be victorious, which is cool because you hear, like, I was delivered from this, or, like, he's our deliverer, you know? So, like, the two examples that I have for the verses are 2 Samuel 22:2 and Psalm 107:6. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, blah, blah, blah. He's not like a UPS driver, guys. Like, he does way more delivering than, you know, packages in the mail. Like, he saves you. He liberates you. And that's pretty cool. It's not a word to be taken lightly. And then the last, no, not the last. I'm so sorry. Fruit, Greek, is karpos. And it's a result or a gain. So have you've heard bear good fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit, right? And most people, if they are not from church, are probably like, what, apples? Like, bananas? What are you saying? And fruit is a result or a gain. It's like kind of like a metaphor, you know, because the Bible's filled with those because it's so artistic. And the example that I have is from Colossians 1:10, which is, so that we live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So that's very important, because if you replace each word in the verses that I'm giving you with the definition, it changes it a little bit. So, like, bearing results, bearing gain in every good work, you see the results of your faith and your salvation and your relationship with Jesus. That's the fruit. That's the result. Okay. And then the word steward, which is the last one. You hear, you know, steward your stuff, steward your money, steward blah, blah, blah. And it comes from the word oikonomos. I don't know how to say that. Yep, you can try. Go ahead. Try to say it. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, cool. Yep. Okay, bring it back. It means one who manages or a guardian. So if you have that in mind, one who manages or a guardian of something, look at the verse 1 Corinthians 4:1, which says this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, or guardians of the mysteries of God, or like managers of the mysteries of God. Like, we take care of it. We share it with others. We do as we feel led to do with it, which if we have the Holy Spirit, then he'll tell us what to do with it. But anyway, so stewarding is way more than just, you know, taking care of something. It's guarding it. It's, yeah, it's good. It's important. Okay, so with this in mind, when we talk to our friends, what I just shared with you is kind of like Christianese. That's what I would call it, like Chinese, Japanese, you know, Christianese. It's like the language that Christians have that maybe not everybody would know, even if, you know, if you speak English. Like, I didn't know that sin meant to miss the mark, like, you know. So with this in mind, when you have friends that you're trying to reach, sometimes it slips our mind that we're using those words because we've just grown up in the church. You know, we've grown up hearing that our whole lives, or we've gone to church for however long, and we're just used to it. So those people aren't used to it, and if you speak Christianese to them, you know, it's probably going to confuse them a little bit, and they might be turned off from it because they probably won't. They'll be like, well, I don't even understand what you're saying, so I don't think it's important. So, yeah, it's almost as if we have, like, our own language composed of metaphors, which is beautiful. Like, the Bible is so beautifully written, but sometimes we don't need to talk in those, like, you know, secret codes, as people might think. We need to make it understandable to people who, like, don't know anything about it. So, hope you were writing stuff. If you haven't by now, just think of something that, like, really stuck out. Just jot it down, because in small groups, we're going to talk about things that you never knew, something that you learned,
and maybe a question or two for your small group leaders. So that was a lot of definitions, and I'm sorry, and I don't even know how to say most of those Greek and Hebrew words, but I thank you so much for focusing, and I'm just going to pray really fast, and then we'll go to small groups. So, dear Jesus, thank you so much for today, and I just pray that things settled in hearts and that you would just take that and apply it to their lives, and I just pray that small groups would go really well. Amen. Woo! Okay, everybody.